So now it's time for our kids' corner. Maybe if somebody could just blink the lights at me here, I'll know what I'm doing next time. So I got a question for you today about prayer. All right. So actually, do you guys know prayers? Or, I mean, like, do you say prayers before bed? Or, yeah, what do you think? Do you know one? Like, now I lay me down to sleep. Do you know that one? Yep, okay. But did you know that actually prayer is supposed to be a conversation between you and God? Not just a one-way communication, right? And actually, sometimes it's hard to know actually what to talk to God about. I mean, the Bible says that we're supposed to talk to him about everything, all the good things that happen, the bad things, that God provides answers for those things. What do you think on that? That takes a prayer that's a little bit more in depth than now I lay me down to sleep, right? That means that we need to spend some time listening. And actually, I brought this thing in. This is actually from our dinner table at home. It's called a prayer cube. And it reminds us of the different ways that we can pray and the different things that we should remember to be thankful for. And you know, even if that's all you do is just take a minute before dinner or take a minute in the morning just to be thankful, you know what? It's a lot harder to have a rough day when you start that day out thankful. What do you think about that idea? That kind of makes sense. All right, so Scruffy thinks it makes sense here, but so anyway, I want to talk to the big people today about prayer and this idea, but I want to ask you what you think. Can we pray to God for anything? We can ask for anything? Are there things that we can't ask for, like maybe God, get that guy over there? You know, that one would be wrong, right? So that one isn't going to work. But what do you think on this? Does prayer really work? I see some yeses and maybes. And let me tell you, that's a tough question. That's a tough question for us all sometimes, I think. Why don't you guys head back? And that's what I want to talk with the bigger people about here today. And wow, what a tough crowd sometimes. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, you know, as I put together our children's service today, I thought back to, you know, things like have faith like a child, and then I remembered being a child and the kinds of things that I wanted in prayer, which were, you know, usually, you know, God, get that guy over there before I have to. Well, anyway, had a lot of those as a teenager, I seem to recall. And you know, it's probably a good thing that they weren't fulfilled, let's put it that way. And as I grew in faith, my prayers, of course, changed. But does Jesus really say that whatever we ask for in his name, his Father will provide? I mean, it seems like that's exactly what he says in all four of the Gospels, in one way or another, and several other places in the Bible. As long as we're fruitfully attached to the Spirit, our prayers should yield results. But this seems so contrary to everyday experience. And I assume it's not just me, but for you as well. And I wonder what I'm missing. I prayed confidently. That's what we're told to do. You must have faith that you'll get what you seek. Yet, How can I have confidence in prayer when this seems so opposite sometimes to my own experiences? Do I lack the faith to get my prayers answered? Have I not prayed correctly? Lord, I know you're capable of all things. Why do I continue to suffer? Is it not your will that I should be healed, Lord? What might cause my prayer to go unanswered? Is it willful and unrepentant sin? Lord, if it is, show it to me. Are my prayers impotent because I'm not righteous enough? Am I refusing to submit to biblical teaching? Have I turned a blind eye to those in need? Do I lack love in some way or another, or is it a lack of faith? And worse than asking myself these questions, have you ever had the situation where someone else in your congregation asks, well, do you really have the faith? You know, I've had situation with my own son. You know, I've prayed for nearly 20 years that he'd receive relief from epilepsy and at least a debilitating illness of it, and yet it doesn't seem to come. Is it just not the will of God that he be healed? So on this subject, there are many different directions we could go with this message. And some would go down the road and say something like this: the healing we receive is from the sickness of sin. And I do believe this is also true. We are ultimately healed of our sins. And I could develop a whole message even on just that subject. But we're also ultimately healed of our bodily illnesses eventually, and all of our earthly desires eventually pass away. And while these things are true, it just really doesn't seem to be what the verse claims it to be. So I want to take a look at this from a different perspective today. So I used to wonder, how many good Christian parents over all the hundreds of years have prayed that their child might live, yet up until relatively recently, cemeteries were filled with children? In fact, wouldn't everyone pray to avoid death, and yet we all die? Even Jesus prays a prayer in which the Father denies his request, or at least his request doesn't seem to align with God's will. Lord, if it be your will, may this cup pass, but yet it wasn't God's will. So one might wonder, what's the point even of prayer, even if Jesus, it seems, couldn't quite get it, you know? If God has worked it all out anyway, well, what am I going to get? What's the point in prayer even? So I want to point a few things out. First, in Acts chapter 12, I want to take you down kind of another story here to make a point. Herod has just killed James. He had James, the brother of John, run through with the sword. And Peter has been arrested, and it's evident that Herod will have him executed as well. In Acts 12:5, we read that the disciples have all gathered together to pray fervently. To lose Peter at this point would have been devastating to the church. But so, do we pray fervently? Is our prayer actually concentrated time spent earnestly seeking and listening for God? Or is our prayer time, does it occur right after our head hits the pillow and just slightly before the snoring begins? You know, how would that work even in a human relationship? Our prayer needs to be focused on our time with God. One of Lisa's chief complaints about me, and I want to be clear, there are only very few, right? It goes something like this. You know, we're ready for bed and we climb on in there, and it's at that point that Lisa wants to tell me something important about her day. And I try and pay attention, and about halfway into the story, she begins to hear. And so, have I really earnestly and fervently had a conversation with Lisa? No, I don't think she would consider it very fervent anyway. So, interestingly though, by the way, in Acts 12, the story wraps up rather differently than you might expect. If you recall from the story, eventually an angel of the Lord sets Peter free from prison, and he walks back to one of the Mary's houses where all the disciples are gathered, and he knocks on the door, and a young servant girl there named Rhoda answers the door. Well, she says, "Who is it?" And he says, "It's me, Peter." And she says, "Oh, well, Peter's in prison." So she goes into the other room and talks to the disciples who are fervently praying, right? Now, Peter is at the door, and three times she goes in there and tells them, and they keep telling her, you must be out of your mind. He's not at the door. He's in prison. So, but even here, it kind of begs the question, what did the disciples expect to receive in their prayer? It was certainly a surprise to them that Peter was spared, although one would assume that's exactly what they were praying for. So kind of the opposite of this must also apply. I mean, you know, I've heard a number of times over the years that you just don't receive because you haven't believed that you would. Well, I don't think we know enough to know what we ought to believe we ought to receive. There are times we think that we do, and certainly we desire the outcome we desire. Secondly, if your prayers aren't yielding the desired result, have you thought about the God that you're praying to? We pray in Jesus' name, but do we really live in Jesus' name? And what I mean by this is, you know, the human condition for us, it always seems to revert back to this God of self. I am so happy for the God we have, by the way. If there were any way that I could possibly lose my salvation, I'm sure I'd probably pull that one off. But God's got us secure here. Do we understand that God, that the God that we're praying for doesn't look like our desires? For many people, their God agrees with them. Their God will help them hide their sins, will help them live the way they want to live, go where they want to go, have the relationships that they want to have, and on, engage in all sorts of things. But that's not what a righteous God would do. A God who loves us perfectly and forgives us, you know, and even forgives us in advance, and a God who cannot tolerate sin because he knows that it's the destroyer of the people that he loves. That's the God that we're praying to. And any other God is kind of our own creation, our own homemade God, and a prayer to deaf ears, because a man-made God, in essence, has no power and can't affect a situation and makes no difference and won't even communicate back with us in that situation. We'll never get peace from the God of self. Thirdly, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. And his disciples ask an interesting question. Why was this man blind? Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? And so this is where sin, one of many places where sin gets connected to illness and kind of earthly punishment. But Jesus' answer is basically, the man is blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The works of God bring God's glory out, but this almost seemed to me early on as a Christian, almost like God is toying with us. Okay, you be sick so that my glory can be revealed. Well, that doesn't seem very godlike at all. That seems just mean, or, you know, but I think we're missing something here. And part of that something is in this whole concept of glory. I don't think that we have a good translation of this word into our own language. It's important to understand that glory, when it comes to God, isn't like the glory of Rome and the glory of Caesar, where people bow down and praise Caesar and sort of pet Caesar's ego. That would be called vainglory. Actually, the glory of God comes from revealing the hidden nature of God. When we love each other, we're revealing the glory of God. That's why it's such an important thing for us to do. And that revelation should be fervent as well. We should reveal that love for one another fervently, not just merely, yeah, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you when you come to mind. That's good, that's true, but fervently making difference in people's lives. And I want to take a little detour because of yesterday's visit to our house, how easy it is to make that difference. I don't think these two guys that visited us to say thank you for something years ago could have imagined how important their visit would be. And, you know, sometimes it's just that. Thank you. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Do we love another person? Do we love each other enough to say, hey, you know, I really put my foot in my mouth there. I shouldn't have said that. Or do we just sort of want to sneak away until the embarrassment dissolves, which is sort of what I think we'd be prone to want to do. But so why pray here? Earnest prayer brings us into communication with God. Make sure it's the one true God you're praying to. But God is always pleased, we hear, when we come to him in communication. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call on me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Confident prayer with fervent attention, prayer in line with God's will, is prayer for the benefit of God's kingdom. And this sort of prayer yields results. But those results might not be the ones that we envision. There are some results, and there will be some, where God's answer is no. But God doesn't simply ignore us. If we don't receive our desired outcome in prayer, God might reveal a powerful truth to us. And perhaps, if not me personally, guys, this is why it's important to find people and surround yourselves with people who will pray with you. Because I'm not the only one that can get that answer. And sometimes, if it's something really emotionally, I'm really emotionally involved in, I can't slow my mind down to hear the answer. Maybe I need a friend that can. And through that person, maybe God will reveal. Through prayer, alone or together, we might find that the answer to our prayerful desire is no. We might even discover the answer to why it's no. And through prayer, we might become comfortable with that no. And that's important too, because that enables us to move on, to know that no is no. And to know that it's no, not because we're being punished and not because we didn't pray correctly or fervently enough or say the right things to God or do this in the right way or have a faith deep enough. That's not it. Okay, Lord, I understand that I need to now carry this burden. I also understand that your strength, it's enough for me. It'll get me through to the destination that you want me to go. So I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm moving on and I'm letting the results up to you now. And I'm trusting that this brings your glory out in some way that serves your kingdom. Is this not also faith that moves mountains? That is, a faith that removes an impediment so that I can go on to access the things that are good in my life and in this world. It might not have gotten me the thing that I wanted, but if it's helped me develop trust in the Lord, that I can move on and serve. Faith that got me on board with God so that I have an effective testimony in his kingdom. I believe that that's also an answer to prayer. And I think, and I truly believe, that while we truly desire at the time, whatever it is that we're praying for or whatever we're moved to prayer over, the answer will sometimes be no. But when it is, if we could see the reality of things spiritually from God's throne, from his perspective, in fact, I think we would agree with God. We would say, you know, Lord, now that I see it that way, I'd be willing to walk through that fire even again. Through prayer, we might not get what we desire, even what we think we need, but I think we get something better when we don't. What if we could catch a glimpse of how somehow our suffering has reached others and how it gave them an opportunity, if we let them pour into our lives, how it gave them such a great opportunity to spread God's love to us if we let them reach in and to give us a gift that was so beyond imagination we couldn't have thought to even ask sometimes. So I think so many things that I've prayed over time and in hindsight look back and, well, they were denied, but it's a good thing they were, because they wouldn't have led to this place here today for sure, and probably would have led to something much more disastrous in my life. So I have had to come to the conclusion that God has denied me my requests for my own good, with a plan in mind that got me someplace better, and no doubt more challenges are coming in my life. No doubt the illnesses and death of loved ones are, you know, but I hope that what I've built so far is enough of a foundation that when these times come, I can give as graciously as I've received. And I hope that others around me can be open to that. And I hope that my trust remains firm. I'm sure my trust will remain firm in the Lord at this point. And that one day will come too, when I will walk off into that sunset. And Lord, I want to trust you all the way. And Lord, you know my desires. And Lord, I pray for total healing, both physical and spiritual. And Lord, I want your will to prevail in our world, because I can think of nothing better. And I'm sure I would agree with your will if I could see from your throne, Lord. Help me to envision your purpose in my life. And Lord, have your way in my life. Hold me up so that I can trust your judgments all the way. And help me be at peace with your plans for my life. And thank you that my life matters in your kingdom.